Testing in the House chamber, legislative day 29.
House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant in arms will close the doors. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Lambeth. We'd ask all of our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Lambeth.
Good evening. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Please join me in giving thanks and blessings today. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for each one gathered here. Our blessings in life are many, and yet we find ourselves faced with countless trials and tribulations, which life brings our way on occasion. Bless each one and give us strength to deal with these challenges. Let us also give thanks for the residents of this great state, whom we are privileged to serve. We ask that you bless them during these unsettled and uncertain times. We also ask that you watch over and protect our healthcare workers, our fire and rescue personnel, and our law enforcement officers, and so many others who put our safety above their own. For our educators and support staff, pre-K through high school and higher ed, we offer our prayers. Now, as we go into another session, give us the wisdom and strength to make the best decisions for those who depend upon and have entrusted their confidence in us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for March 16th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Hastings moves the journal for March 16th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is so approved. Petitions, memorials, or papers addressed to the House, General Assembly, the clerk will read.
Officer of the Governor, the Honorable Tim Moore. Dear Mr. Speaker, pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 7A-45.1A10, I am pleased to nominate the following individuals as special Superior Court judges: Juliana Arp, the Honorable Adam Conrad, the Honorable Michael Robinson, the Honorable Mark Davis. I hereby submit the names for confirmation by the General Assembly by joint resolution. I am grateful for these individuals' willingness to assume this important responsibility for the state of North Carolina. Attached is biographical information for each judge for your review. Please feel free to call my staff for any additional information. Sincerely, Roy Cooper.
Letters placed on file in the clerk's office. Representative Hall is recognized. Send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Hall, rules calling operations of the House Committee Report, House Bill 91, reduce reg to help children with autism, favorable.
Calendar for today.
House Bill 219, amid water sewer rate adjustment mechanism, favorable.
Calendar, Rule 36B. Members, We added one bill to today's calendar. Not sure if we're going to add any more. We're going to review those others that came out of committee. It is the intention of the chair that today be the only day for recorded votes given the reports of the inclement weather tomorrow. House Joint Resolution 172, the clerk will read.
Representatives Clampett, McNeely, Sasser, and Moore. House Joint Resolution 172, a joint resolution applying to Congress for an article convention of the states for the purpose of proposing an amendment to the United States Constitution to impose term limits for members of Congress. The House resolved, the Senate concurred.
The gentleman from Swain, Representative Clampett, is recognized to speak to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The COS, or Convention of States, this Article 5 that I'm talking about in this resolution has a one topic listing, and that topic is term limits. as a suggestion and recommendation to the Congress of the United States. Currently, we know that in Congress and the federal government is currently out of control. The reason we need this is to decentralize power and return it to the states. Concentrating power in one city allows the rich to dictate policy. And if the power were spread in states and cities across the country, it would be much more difficult for a small group of people that are currently in control. Also, the Article 5 Convention states can do that centralizing work by proposing constitutional amendments that limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government. It can ensure that people like Soros, you know, you've heard of him, have fewer opportunities to determine national laws and regulations and control. I'll be available for any questions or other comments, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, rise?
Speak on the resolution. The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In reference to a constitutional convention or convention of states, as it's called, I'd like to bring the body's attention to the fact that in 1787, we went in to tweak the Articles of Confederation. Basically, those articles were disposed of, and they rewrote and gave us what turned out to be a very good constitution. When I read Article 5 of the United States Constitution, I do not see any limits that bill sponsors and proponents of an Article 5 convention tell me there are, that we can limit the scope of that convention to a set few items. I don't see that in the Constitution. Constitution, in fact, does not state that. What also concerns me is back in 1920-odd, I think it was 4 or 8, our Congress at that time did research and study and had all their legal minds look at a constitutional convention and determined that they, the Congress, would be in charge of a constitutional convention, which means us, the states, will not have a whole lot of input in it. Now, I disagree with that finding, but you better believe that they still have that report sitting on their desk up there in Washington, D.C., just like they have so many others that just happen to appear when the crisis presents itself. So I'm not finding where we can limit a constitutional convention that I keep being told can be done. And according to James Madison, one of the other problems is, who's going to be the delegates? Madison in Federalist 49 indicated that the people that would be the delegates were very likely going to be the same people that created the problems that got us where we are. The same ones that have been elected time and time again that we're seeking to remove from office may well end up being the delegates, because again, that's not spelled out in the Constitution. Okay? Very little of an Article 5 convention is actually in the Constitution itself. So we're going to end up with the same partisan problems that we're currently seeing if we in fact convene a constitutional convention. I would also point that we have amended our Constitution well, most of them were successful, one not so much. We amended our Constitution some 17 times and did not have to call a convention of states in order to do that. The other way we can do that is have our Congress representatives submit those bills that we want to see the amendments put in on. We don't have to open this Constitution. The biggest concern that I have is going to be the fact that when we convene a constitutional convention, we're going to entrust our rights to somebody, person unknown at the time we decide to call that convention, but we're going to entrust our rights to someone, and they will go represent you, and you don't even know who that person's going to be standing here today while you call for this convention. Now, I'm wholly against this, in case you haven't noted that already. But let me tell you, folks, there's nobody in this room. Don't take it personal. There is nobody in this room. Look around. Find me that person that you will entrust with every right you have under the current Constitution, every last one, because that is, in fact, what you'll be exposing yourself to. Now, you know, I'm told that, well, there's a safety valve. That safety valve is 38 states have to ratify this. Let me ask you this. Has 38 states elected somebody to office you don't like? I know 38 states elected somebody to office I haven't liked, and I'm sure both sides of the aisles are going to feel that way. So when we look at this, we have to wonder how we have that safety valve. I don't see where we have that. Do I trust those people with my rights? No, sir. I think if you scoured all 50 states in the United States and went through, you could not find the intelligence that gathered together when we wrote the Constitution in this country. You want to amend it? Feel free to do so. You want to submit those amendments? Let's do it the proper way that we've done it 17 times and have been successful in doing so. This resolution will open up this country to a total rewrite, a total change, of which you do not know who you're going to send to that position. You want to assume that the state has the power to make that decision. Congress doesn't agree with you. Do some homework on that and you'll find out they actually have their report still sitting up there that says they will be in charge of that convention. Now I know a lot of people want to tell me, well, we're going to send up rules of convention. They're going to send up a rule sheet says this is what you're going to do. Here's the problem with that. How many of you have been to a convention? We establish a quorum. We vote on what rules we're going to have. Sure, they send us with a proposed rule book. There's nothing that stops you from taking that rule book, throwing it in the trash, and saying, those are really cute, but we're going to write new ones. Sorry, people. I don't trust you. I don't trust the other 49 states. I trust nobody with my rights. I encourage you, I implore you, to vote against a constitutional convention and amend what I will call through the traditional methods. Thank you very much, and I appreciate a red vote on this.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cleveland, Representative Moore, rise?
Mr. Speaker, to briefly debate the bill.
Gentleman's recognized.
Members, I don't sponsor very many bills, but I did sponsor this one along with Representative Clampett, because I do believe that there is a need for change in what we are seeing right now in the status quo. And I think that applies equally to both parties. You know, the state legislature, we're a part-time body. Anybody who took this as a full-time job for $13,000 a year probably got a rude awakening when they got their first check. But Congress is a little bit of a different thing. And you have members, the whole system in Congress is set up based on seniority, where members right now with no limits on terms have to often be there, you know, 10 to 20 years to be able to get anything done. And I would submit to you that leads to a lot of paralysis, regardless of which party is in charge. This is what I've seen is probably the best opportunity to bring some change to that system. If you think about it, if folks have an idea of a bill they want passed here, you generally can get that done. You can work through it. We're a part-time legislature. The bill passes. And by the way, unlike the feds, we actually have a balanced budget. We're not having to print money. We're spending within our means. We're doing the things right. But we're able to take care of the needs of this state. We're able to do so on a part-time basis, and we're able to actually get something accomplished. And in Washington, for decades, it simply hasn't been that way. This bill is a step forward, getting the states an opportunity to amend the Constitution to put in place limits. Now, right now, if a person goes to Congress and says they're going to limit themselves to 2 terms or 3 terms, all they're doing is limiting their ability to be effective because the bureaucracy will outlast them. They won't have enough seniority to get anything done. But if the same rules apply to everyone, then you have finally some equity in it. This is a plan in place. There are those who worry about a runaway convention. This bill is narrowly drawn in such a way as to only deal with term limits. Now, there's a bill that Representative Riddell has that's a much wider issue. It may deal with balanced budget and a whole host of other things. But that's not this bill. This bill is only about term limits in the United States Congress. I've had the question posed to me, which is a fair question, is, as I said before, someone who serves in the legislature who's been here for a while, why would you support term limits? It is comparing apples and oranges of a part-time legislature to a full-time job in the United States Congress. And I would submit to you that term limits make sense. It will help the process move more quickly. And the way this also works, with it being a convention of states, before anything's done, it has to be ratified by 38 states. So this is not going to be just some willy-nilly thing. This is going to be something that gets approved with only 38 states approved. The other thing that's great about it is each state has one vote. So we don't have to worry about Texas or California or New York carrying the day and doing this. Every state has the same vote at the convention of states.
My friends, this is what the framers had in mind. This is a procedure the framers put in the Constitution for this very purpose. And this is the kind of issue that we know Congress simply has not taken up itself to do, that they have not done so, and that presumably they won't do. And so if you want to see any kind of term limits at the federal level, this is probably your best and frankly the only opportunity to do so. I would submit to you this is a process that's going to take a while. Enough states have to approve this and go through the process. And so this is not going to be something that happens overnight. And the General Assembly that is sitting at the time that the convention is finally called, if enough states approve, will then decide which delegates to send to the convention of states at that time. But at the end of the day, every state gets one vote. My friends, we talk about reform. We talk about reform on the Democratic side of the aisle. We talk about reform on the Republican side of the aisle. This is a great reform that's needed in Washington, and I hope you'll support this bill today. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, arise?
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is like deja vu all over again. Seems like we just did this the other day. And I, you know, kind of uncomfortable position to be here all over again when we already beat this once. We beat the whole Convention of States idea year or two ago. I can't remember when it was. I was here. We did that. And now here it comes again. I bet you one of my bills that failed on the floor wouldn't come back up like this. But the whole idea, you know, well, this bill is particularly about term limits. So first of all, I want to address that. I consider imposing term limits to be unconstitutional, because by doing that, you would be telling the people, the citizens, you don't have the right to keep voting for the person that you choose for that office, person you want to be in that office. Now, I'm sure people all over this floor had somebody that they would have kept voting for until Jesus comes, if they had the chance. And you have the right to do that. I might not agree with your choice, you might not agree with mine, but I believe as an American citizen, you have that right to make that choice. And it is not our place, it is not the government's place, to tell you you can't make that choice just because they've been there a while. And I personally am limiting myself to 5 terms, so this is my last time. I think that's the way we ought to go. Limit yourself. Realize that nobody needs to be here forever. But you have the right to vote for whom you choose. So I'm against that idea in the first place. But the second place, this isn't the Convention of States bill that's been pushed all over the place. But it is a piece of it. It's like, well, we can't get the whole thing, so we'll just take part of it and work from there. Let me tell you something. I'm looking right at Article 5. The call for this thing on its face is disingenuous, because there ain't a word about a convention of states in Article 5. That language does not exist. So to put that title on it shows a misunderstanding of the Constitution in the first place. The Constitution allows us 2 ways to amend it. One is going through Congress. The Congress votes to send something out to the people, and the people get to vote on whether to ratify that or not. The other is to have not a convention of states, a constitutional convention. And it doesn't matter. There are plenty of word from the founding fathers. I'm not going to take time to go through all that. You can look it up for yourself. There's plenty of word from the founders and judges on both sides of the political spectrum who have said over and over again, this cannot be limited. You can send whatever directions you want to send to a constitutional convention, and they are not bound by it. No matter how hard you try to lock it up, you cannot do that. And so then maybe they pass a bunch of terrible resolutions. Maybe, since they're free to do so, whether you think so or not, maybe they throw out the whole Constitution, the Bill of Rights and everything, and just totally redo it, and who knows what we'd end up with. Yeah, 38 states would have to ratify it, but, you know, that's not a risk I'm willing to take. We have a great Constitution, and I'm standing here trying to protect it, trying to defend it, as I swore an oath to do. Now, what about these conventions? And, you know, if the Constitutional Convention proposes whatever they propose, how do the states vote on it? Congress decides. The Congress that is already ignoring the Constitution decides whether we have the state legislatures vote on it or we have conventions within the states. And guess what? The first way, where Congress offers us amendments and we vote on whether to accept them, goes to the people, all the people, all the voters. But if Congress decides we're going to have conventions in each state to see whether we're going to ratify what comes out of this constitutional convention, the people don't get to vote on that. Your constituents and mine will have no say unless they have the influence to get somebody they want appointed to go to that convention and vote for all of them. This is taking too big a risk. And like Representative Kidwell said, I don't want to trust people I don't even know with my freedom. I've gotten word from a lot of people who are begging us not to do this. I've had some saying do it. I've had a lot more saying don't do it. Found out today that the Concerned Women of America opposes it. A lot of other groups oppose it. This is just too dangerous, my friends. You and I may disagree or agree on a lot of things in here. But what I hope that we all will do is defend the right of our citizens, the individual voters in our state, to make this decision and not give it to a bunch of appointed people that we don't know what they're going to do. Protect our Constitution. Vote this down. Thank you.
What purpose, gentlemen from Beaufort? Representative Kidwell, rise.
Yes, the bill sponsor questions.
Representative Clampett, gentlemen yield.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I yield.
Thank you, Representative Clampett. A couple questions for you, if you don't mind, sir. There's an indication we'll have one vote from each state. Do we know who those people are going to be?
Yes, sir. Those individuals from each state will come from the legislatures of the state, like this body here.
Can you point to a follow-up, Mr. Speaker?
Gentlemen, yield to additional question.
Yes, sir. I yield.
Thank you. Can you tell me where in the Constitution it defines how those people would be selected?
As far as being selected, that'd be up to the individual legislatures to pick that person. And at this time, since we do not have a call to convention, those selections have not been made yet.
Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Gentlemen, yield to additional question.
Additional, yes.
He yields.
Kind of the same question, Representative Clampett. Does the Constitution define how those people will be selected?
That would be selected, yes, with the Constitution with that. But the bottom line is the Congress will call the Constitution, call the convention of states, and then they step aside to while the convention of states. And I might add, this is a state's rights issue with that. So this convention of states, not a constitutional convention. Convention of states is for states' rights.
Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman, yield to additional question.
A series, if you don't mind, Mr. Speaker, probably two or three more.
Gentlemen, yield to a series of questions. Representative Clampett.
Go ahead.
He yields.
Representative, can you tell me exactly where in the Constitution, can you define the article, the section where it tells me, I'm an IRS kind of guy, so I'm looking for code section, subchapter, the whole nine yards. Can you tell me exactly where in the Constitution it says this is how the people who will be delegates to either type of convention, whether you want to call it a constitutional convention or an Article 5, does it say in the Constitution how that would be done?
The Article 5 calls for and allows for a call of convention of the states utilizing call of convention for individuals to be picked from the local states' legislatures to assemble in Washington with a minimum of 34 with a ratification of 38 of the states for whatever the amendment is that's being suggested. And the only amendment to be considered is a singulatory topic, one topic. as far as your subsections, et cetera. No, I cannot give that to you at this time, sir.
Okay. I think the reason, if I may, is that that doesn't actually exist. The second part of that is going to be in Article 5. Can you tell me in there, which is really the only part of the Constitution that addresses a constitutional or convention of states, can you tell me in Article 5 exactly which sentence says we can place limits upon the convention?
The limits on the Constitution, the convention of states will be dictated by the rules of the convention, and the rules of the convention will be approved by those member states attending. And as far as any other topic brought up at that convention, the moderator of the convention will expel that person from the convention, or persons if it comes to that. And then it becomes a numbers issue to where if there's not enough members present at that time, then that convention is null and void.
Okay. So the last question I would have then, is there any place else in the Constitution that you're aware of that addresses a constitution of states or a constitutional convention?
Not a constitutional convention, sir. Convention of states, and it's Article 5.
So the only place is Article 5.
Only place, yes.
Thank you, Representative. To speak on the bill, second time.
The gentleman's recognized to briefly debate the bill, second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I do want to point out that Representative Clampett is unable to tell me exactly how we're going to elect these people who will go up and be the delegates to represent us in Washington, D.C., because it is, in fact, not defined in Article 5, the only article that addresses a constitutional convention. It is not defined in any way, shape, or form. I do want to show you, and unlike Representative Pittman, I do want to point out, Madison in Federalist 49 indicates we're going to have a problem when we have a constitutional convention, because the people that are going to go up to try and fix the problem are very likely going to be the ones that created it, because they're the most popular folks from each side of the aisle. In 53, he tells us that a constitutional convention is a dangerous thing. Thomas Jefferson told us it is a last-ditch effort. Are we there yet? I don't think we are. There may come that time, and I may change my mind, but I don't think we're there right now. I have people telling me in the past, we've talked about this issue right on this very floor, we want to balance the budget. We want to do a balanced budget amendment. We want to do term limits. The funniest one, we want to pass a amendment that says Congress has to abide by the Constitution that they currently ignore. That's kind of like telling the bank robber, hey, don't bring a gun into that bank. These people are already ignoring the Constitution by and large, and we're going to pass another bill that says you have to obey by this. Yeah, that'll work well, won't it? Ladies and gentlemen, Article 5 is very short. In fact, it's a short paragraph, and it says very simply that Congress can pass amendments, which we can get our elected representatives to do, or we call a convention of states. And at that point, Article 5 in no way, shape, or form defines how that convention gets called as far as who's going to be the person. Might be me that goes up there, guys. If that doesn't scare you on that side, I don't know what will, okay? Might be me they send up, I don't know. But it does not tell you how that's going to be defined. It does not tell you who those people are going to be, and it doesn't tell you who's going to be in charge, and it certainly doesn't tell you you can set the rules of a convention when they enter that. You make the rules of convention when you enter convention. I please ask you to vote red on this.
Question before the House is the passage of House Joint Resolution 172 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Bell, the House Majority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce the vote on their behalf. Representative Carter, aye. Representative Faircloth, aye. Representative McElrath, aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the following member will be voting aye. That is Representative Brockman. The following members will be voting no: Representative Alexander, Butler, Carney, Fisher, Graham, Harrison, Insko, Lucas, and Terry.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 61 having voted in the affirmative and 52 in the negative. House Joint Resolution 172 passed a second reading, will be read a third time.
House resolved, Senate concurred.
Question for the House. Passage of House Joint Resolution 172 in its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Joint Resolution 172, having passed its third reading, is ordered sent to the Senate by a special messenger. House Bill 138, clerk will read.
Representative Willis, House Bill 138, a bill to be entitled an act adopting the 24th day of April of each year as Wounded Heroes Day and the hero is the Army Sergeant Michael Rorado, General Assembly of North Carolina Enacts.
The gentleman from Union, Representative Willis, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, unlike the bill we just talked about, hopefully this will be a much easier discussion and something we can unanimously as a body come together and do. Very often we talk about bills that have names or issues associated with it, and we don't know the names, we don't know the faces, we don't know the individuals, but today we're honored to have with us the individuals behind HB 138, Sergeant Michael Verardo, Sarah Verardo, Danica Thomas, and Jessica Rooney are with us here today on the floor. I'd like to recognize them and thank them for being here with us. Sergeant Verardo served in Afghanistan in back in 2010, was injured in an IED attack. 2 weeks later, he demanded to be back out there with his brothers on the line. He was injured again on his first patrol back out and led to where they are today. And 120 surgeries later, they still stand here with us today fighting for those men and women who have served, those men and women who have continued to fight after they left the battlefield, the caregivers that are out there, the husbands and wives who are home, the children who are here at home with them as well, and they stand as a model for what our country represents. For those men and women who have sacrificed and have given so much, we ask for your support for House Bill 138, which would recognize April 24th every year as Wounded Heroes Day in the state of North Carolina. We thank you for your service. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your continued inspiration. I hope you will vote for this bill. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Question for the House: is the passage of House Bill 138 on second reading? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Bell, the House Majority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce a vote on their behalf. Representative Carter, aye. Representative Faircloth, aye. Representative McElrath, aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the following members will be voting aye. Representatives Alexander, Brockman, Butler, Carney, Fisher, Graham, Harrison, Insko, Lucas, and Terry.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 117 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 138 passed a second reading. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 138 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 138 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate by special messenger. Representative Richardson, the gentleman wishes to be recorded as voting aye on second reading. Please record Representative Richardson's an eye on that vote. Members of chair, if you give the chair your attention just a moment, I do want to recognize some very special guests that we have with us today who we extended the courtesies of the floor today. Retired, first off, the folks who are here with us today are Michael Verardo, his wife Sarah Verardo, and Danica Thomas. And if you will, before you applaud, let me tell you a little bit about all three of them. Retired Army Sergeant Michael Verardo served as an infantryman in the 82nd Airborne until his medical retirement in 2013. He deployed with Bravo Company Parachute Infantry Regiment to conduct combat operations in August of 2009, and the unit suffered a 60% Purple Heart rate. Wounded initially on April 10, 2010, Michael requested to be returned to duty and was then wounded on his first patrol just 2 weeks later. This patrol had catastrophic and life-changing consequences. The improvised explosive device immediately blew off Michael's left leg, much of his left arm, and left him with burns over 35% of his body. a traumatic brain injury, severe facial damage, damage to his airways, and other polytraumatic conditions that required a filled blood transfusion. On April 24, 2019, Mike's ninth alive day, he had his 120th surgery post-Afghanistan. His condition has required years of physical, occupational, speech, and visual therapies. Originally listed as death imminent post-injury, Michael has continued to defy the odds and has gone on to enjoy adaptive athletics, most notably competitive pistol shooting, and is an active participant in his church and community in North Carolina. His wife, Sarah, is a national advocate for wounded veterans and their caregivers. After her husband's injury sustained from deployment, she started as a volunteer with the Independence Fund. Her steadfast devotion, experience, and drive led her to eventually be selected as the organization's first CEO. And joining them as well, Danica Thomas is the widow of U.S. Army Staff Sergeant Alan Thomas. In March of 2010, her husband was severely wounded by a suicide bomber. And after a recovery from his catastrophic injuries, he tragically died by suicide in September of 2013. Danica is chairman of the Susan M. Tillis Foundation for Military Families. I just want to say on behalf of all of my colleagues and on behalf of the state of North Carolina, we appreciate your sacrifice. You honor us with your presence today. And I think I speak for everyone, not just in this room, but this entire state, in saying we owe you and your brothers and sisters in arm a debt that can never be repaid. We want to thank you for what you're doing. Please join me in welcoming these special guests to us today. Thank you again. Members, we do have some other special guests with us. Before we introduce them, I'm going to recognize the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Hastings, to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Yes, and Mr. Speaker, having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask that it be read in its entirety upon the adjournment and spread across the journal, and would like to be recognized to speak to the statement.
So ordered. Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, sir. Today, Mr. Speaker, we welcome Darren and Brooke Aldridge and their manager, Brian Smith from Nashville, Tennessee. And Darren and Brooke receive national and international acclaim for their unique harmonies used for their bluegrass and bluegrass gospel music. And many of their songs are placed near or at the top of the charts on Americana Roots, Sirius XM, and many other charts. Darren and Brooke perform at numerous festivals, including Merlefest, and they've played the Grand Ole Opry more than 25 times. And they appear on numerous TV shows, and they also devote a lot of their time to their faith and their charities. And Brooke is the reigning International Bluegrass Music Association Female Vocalist of the Year, and this is the fourth consecutive time she's received the award. And Darren was also named the IBMA's Momentum Mentor of the Year. And, Mr. Speaker, I would commend this resolution to everyone, and thank you, sir.
Thank you, Representative Hastings. Members, on motion of the members from Gaston, Representatives Hastings, Torbett, and Bumgarner, and from the chair from Cleveland County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Darren and Brooke Aldridge of Cherville, North Carolina, and Brian Smith of Nashville, Tennessee, and Jamie and Brooke Hodnett of Bahama, North Carolina. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Thank you all for being with us today. We really appreciate it. We're certainly glad to have you with us today and appreciate the songs that you entertained us with earlier in caucus. And so know you're always welcome. In fact, Representative Reeves may want to have you in the Democratic caucus to to play. So we should have invited you guys. I didn't think about that. It was really quite impressive there. So we were kind of afraid that Representative Dahl was going to try to do like a solo or something. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. But
well, we're pretty darn used to not being invited, but thanks anyway.
Yes, sir. Thanks again for being with us today. We appreciate that. Members, we're going to go back up to House Bill 23. And the chair would propose just grouping those two. Is there objection? Does anybody have an objection to grouping those two bills? They're two local bills. Members, take a look at them, 23 and 30. Hearing no objection, the chair is going to ask the court to please read House Bill 23 and House Bill 30 for a group vote.
Representative Vaughn, House Bill 23, a bill to be entitled an act to allow the town of Banner Elk and Spencer to regulate utility vehicles. Representative Hannock, House Bill 30, a bill to be entitled an act to allow the town of Southern Shores to exercise the power of eminent domain, purpose of engagement of erosion control and flood hurricane protective works, General Center of North Carolina Act.
Question for the House, is the passage of House Bills 23 and 30 on their second reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bills 23 and 30, having passed second reading, will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina, aye.
Question for the House, passage of House Bills 23 and 30 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bills 23 and 30, having passed their third reading, ordered sent to the Senate. House Bill 110, the clerk will read.
Representative Haney and Bodie, House Bill 110, a bill to be entitled an act to increase the building permit exemption threshold for single-family residences and farm buildings, General Assembly of North Carolina Act.
The gentleman from Currituck, Representative Haney, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, my co-sponsor, Representative Brody. This bill simply raises the permit threshold in statute GS-143-138BA from $15,000 to $20,000. It does not change anything else in the statute. I appreciate your green vote.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 110 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Bell, the House Majority Leader, recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce the vote on their behalf. Representative Carter, aye. Representative Faircloth, aye. Representative McElrath, aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the following members will be voting aye. Representatives Alexander, Brockman, Butler, Carney, Fisher, Graham, Harrison, Insko, Lucas, and Terry.
Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 119 having voted the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 110 passes its second reading and remains on the calendar. House Bill 84, the clerk will read.
Representatives Warren, McNeil, Rydell, and Stevens, House Bill 84, a bill to be entitled an act to apply premises restrictions for certain sex offenders. General Assembly of North Carolina.
The gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this bill simply applies the residence prohibitions that are in place currently for those convicted of sexual offenses to those convicted of the offense of sexual exploitation of a minor for some reason that has not been applicable to them. This bill expands it to cover folks in that category as well. I appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 84 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote.
Representative Bell, House Majority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce the vote on their behalf. Representative Carter, aye. Representative Faircloth, aye. Representative McElrath, aye. Thank you, sir.
Representative Reeves, House Minority Leader, recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the following members will be voting aye. Alexander, Brockman, Butler, Carney, Fisher, Graham, Harrison, Insko, Lucas, and Terry.
Representative Hawkins wish to record on the bill? Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 119 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 84 passes second reading. Will be read a third time.
Gentleman is not climbing in.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 84 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 84 having passed third reading. Order sent to the Senate. Gentleman from Columbus, Representative Jones, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, our patrol family has once again suffered a great loss in the passing of Master Trooper James Brent Montgomery this past Monday. Brent fought a valiant fight with the COVID-19 virus, but lost his fight. So I'm asking you, if you would, to keep the patrol family and his family in your prayers over the next few days. It will be a hard time for them as it is for the troopers, but I just felt that we should honor him today. So if you would, join me in honoring that family. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Jones. The gentleman from Vance, Representative Garrison, also recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also rise for a point of personal privilege to recognize posthumously North Carolina State Trooper James Brent Montgomery. Brent served with distinction as a highway patrolman, and he has a long history of serving law enforcement, having served with both the Henderson and Wilson police departments. He also served as a deputy sheriff. He leaves to mourn his memory, his wife Heather and three children, Jade, Collins, and Emma. Patrolman Montgomery served in Vance County, and we certainly consider his death due to COVID-19 a major and significant loss to law enforcement and law and to the community. So I joined my colleague, Representative Jones, in asking you to keep the family in your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you. And Representatives Garrison, Representative Jones, do appreciate you gentlemen bringing this to the attention of the body. We do have one more bill, but a couple things to administrative matters we want to take care of. Without objection, the chair is going to ask that the daily deadline for filing bills appear on the calendar for Monday is to move to 12 noon on Thursday. What this will do is permit the clerk to provide a calendar at 12:30 tomorrow, given the approach of inclement weather. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered by the chair. Members, we still have one other bill to take care of, and we still have some other matters. For your planning purposes, there will be no recorded votes on Monday, but it does appear we will need recorded votes on Tuesday for session, and chair is looking at a 10 a.m. session at this point on Tuesday morning. So be watching for rules committee notices and so forth that may come either on Monday or Tuesday. So I know you're glad to hear that, Representative Hall. We do have this one other bill to dispose of, then a few other administrative matters. House Bill 91, the clerk will read.
Representatives Bell, Klamath, Kristen Bacon, Sain. House Bill 91, a bill to maintain an act to reduce the unnecessary regulatory containment for applied behavior analysis. General Assembly is not climbing next.
The gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members. I stand here today. This is a good bill, and it's a great day this bill is passed in the House chamber. As many of you that have served in years past will remember, this bill has actually come before us numerous times and passed with overwhelming support. And this year we were actually able to work in agreement with stakeholders and come to an agreement overall. And so hopefully, when this bill goes to the Senate version crossed over, yesterday, and then we'll have this on its way to the governor to sign into law. But currently, North Carolina is the only state in the country where behavior analysts who provide highly effective treatments to children with autism are unable to practice independently. Under our current state regulation, these qualified professionals must operate under the supervision of a licensed psychologist. This has led to fewer providers, higher costs, and limited access for treatment for children with autism, especially in our rural areas across the state. Our bureau will simply remove the necessary regulation to allow behavioral health analysis to operate independently, which they are already qualified to do. During this process, I have heard from countless families across the state who are desperate to see this happen. This is a huge win and a game changer for families affected by autism throughout our state. In closing, I want to give a personal thank you to Representative Chuck McGrady for his efforts over the previous session to try to address this issue. If it were not for him, it wouldn't got this far, and we wouldn't be looking at a successful completion of this bill this year. Again, thank you, and I ask for your support, and thank you for helping the families that are suffering from autism.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
Speak to the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also want to thank Representative Bell, and want to specifically follow up with that with Representative McGrady. He did. Year over year, after failure in the House and in the Senate, he saw this bill through because he understood the impact that it could have on families. So I want to thank him for that. When I got here last year in his attempt to move this bill forward, I had a chance to speak to the bill, and the reason is because it was personal to me. I have two little boys with autism, and ABA therapy, as John mentioned, is a therapy that allows a kid with autism and those who have intellectual and developmental disabilities to learn in space, meaning if they're in school, they have someone there to help them become more functional, more supportive, and they have someone who can help them become productive citizens. And that's important. And the reason that's important, because in North Carolina, we say this is the week where the weak grow strong and the strong grow great. And so if we want those, if we believe in neurodiversity, if we believe in making sure that everyone can maximize their God-given potential, this is a bill that you absolutely want to support. Having the current setup without their own freestanding board does limit access. Now, it doesn't just limit access in rural areas. It does so in urban areas as well. And so in Durham County, we have to depend on people in Wake County. In places like, you know, Mecklenburg, that may be the same thing. There are about 65,000 kids that are diagnosed with autism. That's diagnosed. And part of the reason that you don't have the types of diagnoses is that we need is because you don't have enough people who can do the practice. The other thing that is really important to know about this is people are not moving to North Carolina because of this regulation, because of this, because of what we currently have in place. We have people that want service that say, I can't move to North Carolina because my family won't get the access that they need. And you also have people who want to practice that don't. I've had conversations probably with most of the folks, as John has, across the country. In Virginia, they have over 2,000 behavioral ABA therapists. Over 2,000. North Carolina only has a couple hundred. So think about what we're not doing being in this current state. And so I just ask you, as I know you will, as you did last time, to vote for this. Thousands of families' lives will be transformed. I know this personally. I've seen what it can do in my two sons, and I just ask you to support this bill. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise?
Speak to the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
I just want to join.
Jim, use his microphone,
thank
please.
You. I just want to join Representative Hawkins' remarks, and I, too, have been touched by autism. My youngest brother is autistic, and I've known him for 50-some years. He's a wonderful addition to the family, and I just commend the you legislators, we legislators, for doing this today, and God bless you.
For what purpose does the lady from Cabarrus, Representative Baker, rise?
To speak to the bill.
The lady has the floor to debate the bill.
Yes, I just want to say thank you. It's been an honor to be a part of this, to be a sponsor. And I thank you to those of you who have courageously shared your stories about what you have dealt with your family and with your friends. And just to follow this up, this is an evidence-based intervention, and it is a game changer for these children. It actually can be utilized across settings, and it's effective across lifetime. And so I just thank you all for the attention you've given to this, and of course, Representative McGrady for having brought this forward and not let it drop. And so I thank you all for your support and recommend this bill to you. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate.
If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 91 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Bell, the House Majority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce a vote on their behalf. Representative Carter, aye. Representative Faircloth, aye. Representative McElrath, aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative White wishes to vote on the bill. Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and the following members will be voting aye. Representatives Alexander, Brockman, Butler, Carney, Fisher, Graham, Harrison, Enscoe, Lucas, and Terry.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 119 having voted the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 91 passes its second reading and will be read a third time.
General Assembly is not planning that.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 91 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 91, having passed its third reading, ordered sent to the Senate. Representative Warren recognized sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Warren, State Personnel Committee report. House Bill 46, SHRA, Stronger Whistleblower Protection, favorable and referred to Judiciary 2.
Bill is referred to Committee on Judiciary 2.
House Bill 168, Retirement Administrative Changes Act of 2021, AB, favorable and referred to Prisons and Retirement.
The original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitutes referred to the Committee on Pensions and Retirement. Representatives Rogers and Zachary recognize sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Rogers and Zachary, Judiciary 3 committee report. House Bill 238, prohibit possession of skimming device, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 123, misdemeanor, mandate first appearance, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitute is re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 148, SBI Emergency Pin Register Trap and Trace. Favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitute is re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representatives Dixon and McNeely recognize sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Dixon and McNeely, Agriculture Committee report, House Bill 136, encourage healthy NC food in schools, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representatives Dixon and McNeely recognize send forth additional committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Dixon and McNeely, Agriculture Committee report, House Bill 228, attractive nuisances, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable initial bill, and will refer to Judiciary 3.
Bill is re-referred to the Committee on Judiciary 3. For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise?
On a personal privilege.
Showman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I want to correct something I said earlier. It was not here on the floor that 172 was voted down the other day. It was in caucus. So I was in error in saying that we were bringing something back up that had already failed on the floor. I want to apologize to the Speaker and to the body for that mistake. Second thing, I just want to say that today marks 17 years since our son Samuel was deported to go to Kuwait and Iraq for the first tour over there. He went again 2011-2012. And I'm going to tell you, 17 years has gone by a lot faster than either of those 2 years did that he was away. And so I just want to say, any of you who have family or friends who have been deployed and are away and you're missing them, you're in my prayers because I know how hard that is. God bless all who serve.
Mr. Clerk, members, chair directs at House Bill 270, the short titles prohibit renaming of Fayetteville State be withdrawn from the Committee on Appropriations, and the bill is re-referred to the Committee on Education Universities, and the serial referral to rules remains in place. Mr. Clerk, chair also directs that House Bill 110, which would come up for third reading on tomorrow's calendar, be withdrawn from that calendar and be counted for Tuesday morning's session. For what purpose, the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, rise?
Two announcements, if I may.
The gentleman has four.
First announcement is the governor's budget comes out next Wednesday, and we're going to have a full joint appropriations meeting on Thursday morning at 8:30 in our usual appropriations room, 643, for the governor's staff to go through that budget. So I'm trying to get ahead of our planning for next week. So make a note that there'll be a notice coming out on that one. The second announcement, Mr. Speaker, is we're already getting a lot of questions about the ARP bill, and I'm going to keep referring to it as the ARP bill since he's my seatmate here. And we don't know a whole lot about it yet. There's still a lot of rules to be written. But one of the common questions that I'm getting, that we're getting as appropriation chairs, what are the cities and counties getting from the federal money? And the Chair's Appropriations sent out to you an email that you should have received about an hour ago that actually lists for you the direct appropriation that will be sent out to each large city and each township less than 50,000 people and your county, so that you can actually go in and see how much federal money that will be directly appropriated to those areas. Because I'm sure you're going to be getting questions, and we don't know yet exactly the criteria and the guidelines that will come at some point, but I did want you to have that information as you were getting some questions about it.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Pope, Representative Johnson, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Committee on IT Appropriations will meet Tuesday at 11 a.m. Still getting the room sorted out, but we'll send out an email with that room location. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Catawba, Representative Setzer, rise?
To make an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
Members of the House Finance Committee, we will meet in our normal room, 643, at 8:30 a.m. in the morning. Please be prompt.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Education Universities Committee will meet tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. in room 643. We have two bills on the calendar, House Bill 243 and House Bill 260. We know there's inclement weather, so we're going to try to wrap up our work no later than 11 a.m. Thanks.
What purpose does the gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
The Joint House Senate JPS Appropriations Committee will meet in the morning in room 415 at 8:30, or it's available by WebEx. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Bradford, rise?
A very brief moment of personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor.
Today is my father's 71st birthday. He's a retired veteran. I remember my father working three jobs to make ends meet. He taught me how to work hard, how to do the right thing. He taught me how to fish. I know Representative Carla Cunningham probably loves that. And he taught me how to use a screwdriver and a hammer and nails. And so I know my dad's not listening because he's probably out working somewhere, but I did want to tell him happy birthday on St. Patrick's Day, and I love you very much. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Bradford. Members, again, for planning purposes, tomorrow's session is going to end up being at 10:45. There will be no votes. Without objection, the rules are suspended so that any committees that are meeting at that time may continue to meet, so that without fear of the rule that session is meeting simultaneously. Second, the session Monday will be a no-vote session as well. We've not determined the time. I would suspect sometime Monday late afternoon we'll have that session as well. Tuesday, however, we will have votes, and the chair is looking at a 10 a.m. session Tuesday morning. So I would anticipate that there's going to happen to be an education committee meeting either Monday or Tuesday very early, or it'll just go through rules. So for what purpose, gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise.
Mr. Speaker, to clarify a previous announcement, that
education will not be meeting next week. That bill will be going directly to rules.
Okay. So the then I would watch your announcements for a rules committee meeting. That you don't have to announce it now, but if you'd like to, Representative Hall, I know everybody's just waiting with bated breath to know when the rules committee is going to meet, so the gentleman's recognized.
The rules committee is going to meet at 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning.
So the my advice to members would be to look very carefully at the bills that are in the rules committee slated for the 9 a.m. hearing. That calendar will be put out well in advance and anticipate that those bills will likely be added to the calendar for Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. So I want to make sure that members and members of the public know that. So this is about 4 or 5 days advance notice to any bills that are in the rules committee on Tuesday morning, likely will be added to the session for Tuesday morning later that morning. So members should take a look and study those, prepare amendments, etc. Chair also making a change, Mr. Clerk, members to the committees. Chair is going to remove Representative Sauls from the Committee on Judiciary 1. Chair is going to add Representative McElraft as a member of the Committee on Judiciary 1. For what purpose does the gentleman from Moore, Representative Bowles, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
For planning purposes, the joint Justice Public Safety Appropriations will meet next Tuesday and Wednesday for our final presentations, and then Thursday we will meet with the big appropriations board. So Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, and that will end our joint Senate and House appropriations presentations. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise?
Better clarification on our previous announcement, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you. I think I stated there would not be a committee meeting. What I meant to say was there would not be a committee meeting held to address one bill that now is going to rules on Tuesday. We more than likely will have a committee, so just watch your emails for the education K-12 next Tuesday. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative Arprise?
To announce a energy and public utilities meeting for Tuesday at 3.
Gentleman has the floor. And made the announcement. Well done. And it's an engineer. You're just extra efficient with it, right? About to do the introductions of bills and resolutions, but before that happens, do we have any further notices or announcements? If not, introductions of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
Representatives Renato and Harrison, House Bill 311, Safer Roads and Communities Act of 2021.
Rules Counter and Operations of the House.
Representatives McNeil, Carson Smith, Green, and Miller, House Bill 312, Qualifications for Sheriff Expunctions.
Judiciary 2, if favorable, Rules Counter and Operations of the House.
Representatives Arp, Lambeth, and Sane, House Bill 313, 2021 Pandemic Recovery Appropriations Act.
Appropriations, if favorable, Rules Counter and Operations of the House.
Representative Arp, Lambeth, and Sane, House Bill 314, 2021 Omnibus Coronavirus Relief Act.
Appropriations, if favorable, Rules Counter and Operations of the House.
Representatives McNeil, Bowles, Sane, and Carter, House Bill 315, Arson Law Revisions.
Judiciary 3, if favorable, Rules Counter and Operations of the House.
Representatives Insko, Reeves, Cunningham, Cooper, Suggs, House Bill 316, Support Maternal Health, Extend Medicaid Coverage.
Rules Counter and Operations of the House.
Representatives McNeely, Carter, Elmore, and Goodman, House Bill 317, Future Farmers of America, Beekeeping Grant Program.
Appropriations, if favorable, Rules Counter and Operations of the House.
Representative Everett Hunt, Hurtado, and Farkas, House Bill 318, Extend Cooling Period, Off Period for Legislators.
Rules Counter and Operations of the House, messages from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Senate Bill 101, Committee Substitute Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to require compliance with immigration detainers and administrative warrants to require certain reports from local law enforcement.
Rules Counter and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 126, first edition, a bill to be entitled an act to abolish obsolete boards and commissions who are no longer functional.
Rules counter and operations of the House.
Senate Bill 138, committee substitute, second edition, a bill to be entitled an act to authorize shareholder meetings held solely for means of remote communication and related ratifications to Business Corporation Act.
Rules counter and operations of the House.
Senate Bill 150, first edition, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the charter of the city of Morganton and to clarify the time period for filing vacancies at the office of mayor and to provide the city manager shall appoint the city clerk and make technical changes.
Rules counter and operations of the House.
Senate Bill 169, committee substitute, second edition, a bill to be entitled an act to modify the composition of Kinston, Lenoir County Tourism Development Authority.
Rules counter and operations of the House.
Senate Bill 170, second edition, a bill to be entitled an act to permit increased access to outdoor sporting facilities in public and non-public high schools in certain counties.
Rules counter and operations of the House. Members, when we do our adjournment today, we are going to do so in memory of the trooper who was mentioned earlier who passed away, so we'd ask the body to remain in order when that is done. As we are finalizing, it does appear that we have disposed fully of the calendar of bills. We've also disposed, it appears, of the administrative matters, so the chair will make one final call if there are any additional notices or announcements. If not, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, March 18th at 10:45 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1, and in memory of Master Trooper James Brent Montgomery of Vance County.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representatives Jones and Garrison, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, March 18th at 10:45 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1 and in memory of Master Trooper James Brent Montgomery of Vance County. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.
I represent a statement recognizing Darren and Brooke Aldridge, whereas Darren and Brooke Aldridge are husband and wife music duo who have received national and international acclaim of their unique musical harmonies, which reflect the cultural traditions of the Western North Carolina roots. And whereas the duo plays and writes bluegrass and bluegrass gospel music, many of their songs have been placed near or at the top of charts of American roots, Sirius XM Bluegrass and Gospel Charts. Their eighth album, Inner Journey, released on October 18, 2019 on Rounder Records, produced several top 10 singles and held the number one spot of roots music for top 50 contemporary bluegrass charts for 5 consecutive weeks. Their music has received multiple nominations from the International Bluegrass Music Association and the Society of Preservation Bluegrass Music of America and Inspirational Country Music. And whereas Darren and Brooke have performed in several festivals, including Melfest, appeared on the famed stage of the Grand Ole Opry for more than 25 times, and toured across the country and internationally. They have appeared on various television programs, including Great American Gospel, The Bluegrass Road, Songs of Mountain, Music City Roots, Circle Television Network, Larry's Country Dinner, and PBS series Mountain Stage. Their music video has been featured on several networks such as Country Music Television and Bluegrass Ridge TV. And whereas Darren and Brooke have also been successful as solo artists, Brooke is the reigning IVMA Female Vocalist of the Year, the fourth consecutive time she received this honor. Darren, who plays several instruments, spent 6 years as a member of the Country Gentlemen, an acclaimed bluegrass band, and in 2017 was named IBMA's Momentum Mentor of the Year. Now, therefore, Darren and Brooke Aldridge deserve to be congratulated on their outstanding musical accomplishment and recognized for their contribution to bluegrass music. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies that the following statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on the 17th day of March, 2021. Submitted by Representative Kelly Hastings, James White, House Principal Clerk.
Now, on motion of the chair, House Bill 265, short title Reinstate Mountain Island Lake Marine Commission. The bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Marine Resources and Aquaculture and re-referred to the Committee on Wildlife. All the serial referrals are stricken, and on motion of the chair, the following serial referrals are reordered: Marine Resources and Aquaculture, Local Government, Rules. Special message from the Senate. Senate Chamber, March 17th, 2021. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to your honorable body and notifying you that pursuant to Senate Resolution 258 adopted, the Senate resolution electing Joel D. Ford to the Board of Governors of the University of North Carolina, the Senate has elected the following individual to the University of North Carolina Board of Governors, Joel D. Ford. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That message is noted. Further special message from the Senate. Senate Chamber, March 17th, 2021. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to your honorable body notifying you that pursuant to Senate Resolution 111 adopted, a Senate resolution to establish the procedure for nominating and electing members of the Board of Governors of the University of North Carolina, the Senate has elected the following individuals to the University of North Carolina Board of Governors: Kirk J. Bradley, Jimmy D. Clark, Sonia Phillips Nichols, James Arthur Pope, Randall Clark Ramsey, Lee H. Roberts. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That message is noted.